Our faith, our Christian walk, is personal. You know, we have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. Do we not?
Yes.
Praise God. I'm glad to hear that. Because if not, you need to get saved and then develop that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. But Matthew 18 came to mind. And Matthew 18 and verses 2 onwards. And Jesus called a little child to himself and set him in the middle before them and said, truly I say unto you, unless you are converted and become like a child, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever then humbles himself as this child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
And whoever receives one such child in my name receives me. Hallelujah. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to stumble, it is better for them that a heavy millstone be hung around his neck and that he be drowned in the depths of the sea. Woe to this world because it is a stumbling block. For it is inevitable that stumbling blocks come. But woe to the man through whom the stumbling block comes. There are stumbling blocks. You know, the psalmist says, though I fall, I shall arise. You know, God turns up on those times when you fall, picks you up just like a father, dusts you off. You know, come on, son. Come on, daughter. Hey, come on. Let's do it again. Let's try again. We can do this together. And so, you know, it's people can be stumbling blocks. And the Lord here warns of those who become stumbling blocks. And he said in verse 8, and he said, and if your hand or your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. It is better for you to enter life crippled or lame than to have two hands or two feet to be cast into the eternal fire. You know, Jesus is talking about eternity. There is an eternity for everybody.
Amen.
Whether saved or unsaved.
Yes.
You know, if people don't believe in Jesus, it's not when you're dead, that's it. No, there's a torment because there's an assigned place, unfortunately, for those that reject the Lord Jesus. And so, our function, our ministry, is to go out into the highways and the byways and to compel them to come in. Because we need people to find Jesus. They need to find him as Lord and Saviour. And, you know, we're at that mission. We're on that purpose. We're here for that reason. And he goes on to say, and if your eye causes you to stumble, pluck it out and throw it out from you. I was talking on Sunday, weren't I, about the fact that so many things come into us, and, you know, through our vision, through our hearing, and we need at times, we have to learn to switch these things off. Turn them off, switch them off. So much time can be spent on our mobile phones. I see people walking dogs. You know, it's like they're on the phone. There's no time. Time has been swallowed up. And Christians can get so involved in their mobile phones that they forget about God. In fact, we had an incident, didn't we, actually? I forgot about that. With you smiling, it just reminded me, actually. I'm glad you can smile about it. Her phone went missing. And at first, it was panic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolute panic. I've lost my phone. You know, we checked the church and everything. And we couldn't find it anywhere. And, you know, a day or two later, she said, you know, it's the best thing that happened. Because she says, I'm no more stressed now. Sometimes you feel that you've got to answer this one and answer that one and answer this email. And so, I mean, I run about 4 or 5, 6 emails addresses for various things. And, you know, sometimes I feel like I'm chasing myself. And I think, nope, push it to one side. I'm not doing this. And sometimes you have to say no so that you can give time to God. Because it is the small things, the little foxes, as it would be in the Bible, it talks about. The little foxes. Well, you know, sometimes you could probably maybe have a sticker on your mobile phone saying, little fox, might just give you a reminder of what it can be to you. Yeah, they're great in some areas. Mm-hmm. But remember this. You have got to be in charge of it, not it in charge of you. Mm-hmm. Hello? It's true, isn't it? You know. Great they are. I don't know what we did when we were teenagers without a mobile phone, but by gum, life was a lot easier. It was a lot more enjoyable. It was a lot more freer and exciting, and it was great. We didn't even have one of them. Hallelujah. We didn't even have one of them. It was a box. It was a box at the top of the road, a red one with an A button and a B button, you know. And you dropped 2 pence in it, and, you know, that was it. You did that. Oh, dear. But praise God. So, you know, but so many things can run away with our time. The TV can swallow us up. We get caught into things and that. Instead of saying, and I keep saying this, put Jesus first. Put him in first place. And when we give him first place, then everything begins to come into order. He's the Prince of Peace. Today the world ministers fear, fear, fear. You know, constantly, all the time, there's fear being ministered by the BBC News, the ITV News. It is constant fear, 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 fear. And if you keep sucking on it, you'll end up living as a fearful person. I remember the first time, it's probably 30 years ago plus, that Grace and I went to America, and I saw American TV, and then I looked at the American people and saw them, and I thought, I know why they live with so much fear and so much addiction to over-the-counter drugs, because of the media constantly bombarding them and bombarding them. And I used to think, what a load of rubbish. And they live in a panic of fear all the time. They're afraid, aren't they, Helen? You know them, you know. And they're constantly fearful. And yet, the Christian, and I'm talking about people who I know who are Christians. This should take first place. The Word of God. It's a book of peace, you know. Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and he brings that to us. He brings that release to us. But we've to have that relationship with him, as David was saying. It's about that relationship. And the thing I want to get to that just threw up with David was about this, the fact of verse 10. And Jesus says this, "See that you do not despise one of these little ones. For I say to you that their angels in heaven continually before the face of my Father who is in heaven." So, they're angels. Now, if a child has an angel, or angels, who are continually before the Father on the throne, as we grow up, guess what? You still have angels who continually goes before the Father. Now, I know evangelicals find that a bit difficult to sort of get a grip on, you know, because they think it's a little bit, talking about angels. But this is the words from Jesus. This is what Jesus is saying. This is not just anybody. This is the Son of God. And he's referring to the fact that you have an angel, or at least more than one angel. I keep my angel busy over the years, I'll admit. You know, they've had to protect me from being killed at least 3 times. You know, I'm sure they stand there thinking, yeah, that were a close one, weren't it? You know, I mean, I believe that each and every one of us has a destiny. We have a chorus, don't we, that we've sung in the past. I have a destiny I know I shall fulfill, right? But at the same time, our destiny is connected with the Word of God. Our destiny is connected with our relationship that we have with the Heavenly Father. We can't just turn around and say, I've got a destiny, I can do anything I want, and I will still fulfill that destiny. The answer to that question is no, you won't. There are times of preparation and moving towards that destiny and preparing you. People have a prophetic word over them and they say, you know, God's called me to such and such a thing. And it's like, well, okay, are you going to prepare for it? Oh, no, it'll just happen like that. No, it will not just happen like that, let me tell you. I can take you to parts of Scripture. Moses, God called him. When he was born to deliver Israel. Yeah. Right? And he attempted it when he was 40. And he made the biggest blunder of his life. spent 40 more years in the wilderness getting Egypt out of him so that he would listen to God.
Yeah.
And do it God's way.
Amen.
And you and I need to listen to God and do it God's way, yeah. Not our way.
Yeah.
You know, we sometimes we think we know better.
Mm.
But let me tell you this. You do not.
No.
You're not smart enough yet. Hallelujah. Neither am I, by the way. And each time we have to rely upon him who loved us, cared for us, who died upon a cross for us, came to set us free because his Father sent him. Because his Father said, I want my children back.
Amen.
We're back. We're back. But there are more children that he wants into his presence. And so that is that part of our next move, to bring the children.
Yes.
And I don't mean tiny children. Bless God for the two ladies that came into church last Sunday. They weren't children in the sense physically, but in the sense of spiritual things, they were children.
Yeah.
And they need to be loved, and they need to be taught, and they need to be understood, and they so that they can then understand the Word of God.
Amen.
And the love of God. And as you see in the church there, out the front, it says, God is love.
Amen.
And these people need to know the love of God.
Amen.
These people need to know that God loves them unconditionally.
Yeah.
You know? But that's bringing them in, and then we need to go through that process. God is about refining us. And silver is refined 7 times in the fire. Back into the furnace for another refining. Whoa, that was hot, that one, God. Do I have to do it again? Yes, we do. And to get to that silver, which is 99.99% pure, it has to go through the furnace at least 7 times to bring the purity, to get all the dross that is in there, and it has to be fired at least 7 times to bring it all out, for it to rise to the surface. We don't want it to rise to the surface, do we? We like to keep it buried. Oh, don't keep that one down. Don't let them know about that. But God's about bringing it to the surface so that he can take it out and remove it, never to be remembered anymore, never to be held against us anymore, never to be pointed at us anymore. Total forgiveness, total freedom. And so your angels are constantly before the Father, hearing what God is saying. You remember Gideon? The angel of the Lord came to him and said, thou mighty man of valor. He's hiding. Read the story. The guy is hiding in a place where nobody would look for him. He's doing what he was doing, thrashing out the corn in a place where they did grapes, and it wasn't the time of grapes, so nobody was going to be there. He was an absolute out and out coward. He was not a mighty man. But you see, God had decided he was going to be his mighty man. And God spoke the word and said, thou mighty man of valor.
Yeah.
Ooh. It's like, who else is here?
Yeah.
And God started the process on him. And he brought him step by step to that place where he knew God was with him.
Mm-hmm.
He knew what God intended to do. And he obeyed God. And just with 300 men, he destroyed an army. He didn't have to raise us. He didn't have a sword to raise. It was the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And they just blew a trumpet and broke the pitcher, and the light shone. And when the light shines, the darkness will flee. And the enemy will flee from this area. And God will bring deliverance and freedom to lives in this area. And that's what God has, this is what God is showing us, that we have to be prepared for. There's a move coming, but we have to begin to be ready.
Yeah.
You know, he goes on to saying, and Jesus says this in verse 11 of that same chapter, for the Son of Man has come to save that which was lost. Hallelujah. He's come to save that which was lost. And there are a lot of lost people out there. But Jesus has died and has rose again to save that which is lost. Hallelujah. Praise God, look at you. You were lost. You were lost, and look, Jesus found you. And look what's happened to you. Oh, absolutely. It's all right. Well, you just float over the big words, you know, it'd be fine. Sometimes all you need to do is just get a dictionary. Won't do you any harm to dig into a dictionary. But you know, when you look at yourself, Louise, and we see, we remember how inward you were and how pressed down and oppressed. In fact, I think you've grown a few inches in height since the burdens have come off.
I actually came by the people.
I know you did.
Now. No. I know this is the family of God.
Amen. Now we can't keep you quiet. Hallelujah. But that's the difference that Jesus makes. Mm. Look at you, Shirley.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Totally different.
28 years, mate.
Yeah, 28 years. Living in hatred and resentment and bitterness, and then suddenly Jesus comes in on the spot and you're exposed to him, and it all goes.
Mm-hmm.
You did. You never saw you on Zoom, really. But I was gunning for you. I'd got my sights on you, you know. My gun was loaded, my sights were set. She was coming to church. She was coming to the kingdom. She was going to be one of the children of God. And he's gone and done it, hasn't he? Praise God. You know? And you know, that's what we've got to do. You know, sometimes we just, our prayer life, we've got to focus on things. You know, we've been talking these last few weeks on spiritual warfare. And I've said to you, we don't just get a spiritual weapon and start just shooting all over the place and hope we hit something. Right? We aim for the target.
Yeah.
And don't start aiming for, Lord, save the whole world.
No.
Start praying for something that you can step out in faith for.
Mm.
Right? Something that you can actually see and say, well, I prayed for this to happen and it's happened.
Amen.
Because the first thing that does is that builds your faith. Oh, wow, I prayed for that and God answered.
Yes.
Oh, bring on the next one. Like, you know, what's next, God? But it's true. That's, you start, you know, a baby doesn't suddenly, when it's born, turn around to its mother and say, thanks a lot, mother, I'm off now, and walk away, does he?
No.
Learns to...
Yeah.
Amen. Learn to crawl.
Yes.
Learn to begin to stand up a little.
Mm-hmm.
Learn then to begin to totter in steps. And, you know, baby. Don't it?
Yeah.
And then you're there saying, oh, come to mommy, you know. And then suddenly it... and it makes it, yeah, and they catch it. That's what we've to learn to do in a sense, spiritually. Because some are spiritual babes still growing in Christ. And that's not a condemnation. That's an absolute blessing, because it's like, hey, we've got some growth. Because we've got some babies in the place.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Without babies, you don't have growth. Without children in the family, coming in like that, you don't get any growth. There's a future. The next generations. Spiritual warriors to be grown up and to taught and to be encouraged. And we need to begin to move forward in that. We need to be specific in our prayer time. Praying for. Target. You know, maybe you've got a friend and you think, I'm going to pray for that person. I'm going to pray for them. And whatever you do, don't let that person weigh you down. You know, you bring them before the Lord, and it's up to the Lord to do it. You see, none of you can save anybody.
You can,
Yeah, I know. It don't work. I know. We've all done it. We've all fallen foul of that one. You're called to be a signpost.
Yeah, that's right.
A witness. What are you doing? I'm pointing you to Jesus. Because I don't have the answers. I might have some experience that has a few answers in it. But ultimately, the one who's got all the answers is Jesus.
Amen.
So whatever your question is, whatever your problem is, Jesus is the answer.
Yeah.
Now whatever it is that you need, Jesus is the answer. Yeah. Jesus is that need meter. And so we have to trust him in those areas. And Grace and I, over our walk with the Lord, have seen God meet our needs. And financially things seemed impossible. He paid, you know, he caused us for the... When we went into full-time ministry, when I left work, I think we'd got 12 to 15 years on our mortgage to pay. And for the next 12 to 15 years, God somehow enabled us to pay the mortgage.
Great.
And in some cases, we didn't have a wage. We didn't have a full wage coming in. And when we did the sums, we were in the red. Well, I did the sums. I've got a degree in maths, I'm telling. Or part degree, anyway. I helped Ellen get a maths degree, so, you know. I've got my own degrees. But, you know, I did all the sums. And it's like, we need to sell up and move. And God said, no, I gave you this place. And I will keep you. Because I have made a promise to you.
Amen.
You see, God is a promise-keeping God. Because that's what fathers do. That's what fathers do. They keep their promise. That's what a real father does. He keeps his promise to us.
Mm.
And some of you might say, well, my father wasn't like that. Well, you've got a new father.
Amen.
You've got a heavenly father. Who keeps his promises.
Yes.
And you've got to begin now to learn to trust him and get to know him.
Mm-hmm.
And as we get to know him, we can trust him to take us through challenges and difficulties. And yeah, there's going to be some hurts that need to be ministered into. That's okay. We've seen that. We've watched that happen so many times. And we just allow the love of God to just wash into a person's life.
Mm-hmm.
Set captives free. Because that's why Jesus came. He came to set us free. To pour in his love to us and to minister, because what God wants for you and for me is to be free to minister the love of Jesus, the love of God to others.
Mm-hmm.
You see, the word says there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm can be a bit dogmatic on one or two things. And it's about having that real relationship with Jesus, not just a passing acquaintance. And there are so many people who say, I'm a Christian, but they're on passing acquaintances. They're on nodding terms with Jesus.
Mm.
Do you get what I mean? You know, you see somebody at work and you say, hey, you know, just on nodding terms. You don't know them. You know them by sight, but beyond that, you know nothing about them. And there are many Christians, sadly, today, who are just on nodding terms with God.
Mm.
Because they don't even open this book.
Yeah.
You might say, I don't believe that. Well, I'll tell you what. In these last few years, the number of Christians I have met, and we started to talk about Jesus and the Word of God, and passes over to the top of their head. They've not read the book.
Mm.
They've not read the book. Don't wait for Sundays and Wednesdays for your Bible to fall open. Every day. You eat physically every day. Eat spiritually every day. Because that's what keeps you strong. That's what keeps your relationship going with Heavenly Father. And when the enemy comes against us, then the Spirit of the Lord lifts up the standard like a flood and pushes the enemy back and drives him out.
Amen.
And that's where we've got to get to. That we stand strong on the Word of God. That's not that we're not... You know, David got a little bit emotional. I do sometimes. It's not an issue. One thing it does show, that we're tender-hearted.
Amen.
And that we want the best for everybody that comes into contact with us.
Mm.
Sometimes we might be a little bit strict, firm. But that's what a father has to do sometimes. Has to bring discipline. But discipline with love.
That's right.
And when you bring that discipline with love, the children will respond. And then they will grow. And they'll be set free from the bondages and from the difficulties and the challenges that are in their life. The things that have sort of dogged them for so many years and held them down. Like Shirley, so many years, things that held her back. You know, the devil has robbed her, as she said, of 28 years. 28 years. Wow. Well, guess what? We're having them 28 years back.
Yeah, amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
The devil's been caught stealing from you.
Yeah.
We now demand that he repay back sevenfold. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, this is what the word teaches. This is what we've got. Yeah, that's right. God says that God restores the years that the locusts have eaten. You know. He says, I will renew your youth like the eagle. Isn't that right, David? Hallelujah. Yes, let's just, you know. Glory to God. See, God's in this for us. And we've just got a partnership with God. Trust him and go forward. And just be loving and caring and just let this word penetrate into our lives and begin to fill us to full and overflowing. You know, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost.
Amen.
I was once lost.
Amen.
I was lost in darkness. And Jesus found me. You know. And because, you know, so many times we give a word of testimony to thank God what he's done for us. And we say, when I found Jesus. You what? That is totally wrong. You weren't even looking for Jesus when he found you. You weren't looking for him. I know I wasn't. I stumbled across him, if you want, for want of a better word, because my parents, my father had a spine issue through a mining accident, and he turned grey overnight, and he could hardly walk, and he suffered this for a number of years, and then it was a case of somebody told my mother, there's a divine healing crusade going on at Stane Cross in Barnsley. Two men from, I think they were from Denton, Manchester, Barrett and Williams. You remember them?
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
He prayed for dawn and dawn's eye. Went from a bad squint.
Perfect vision.
Perfection.
Yeah.
She saved glasses now. And she won't go on. She's turned 60.
Yeah, well.
She took that glass.
Yeah. And that's tremendous, isn't it? I mean, my father had a clot of blood quarter of an inch from his brain. They said they could operate, but there was a less than a 50-50 chance that he would walk again after that operation. So he said no. But say it turned him grey overnight. He could hardly walk in himself. He struggled. And I remember that about 3 or 4 months after he'd been prayed for, that we'd been going to this church. We went to this church after he'd been prayed for. We gave our hearts and lives to the Lord Jesus. And my father had a garage some distance away from the house. We'd been working on a car, as we often do. You know, we didn't have a lot of money, so we always fixed it ourselves.
Yeah.
And we were set off walking home late at night. It was dark, and he said to me, I'll race you home. Well, I mean, look at me. I'm a sprinter, you know. Race me home? No chance. My dad's shorter than me. You know, he's older than me. He beat me home to the gate. I'm like, I don't believe that. And that's when I realised yet even more when God had done that work. My dad's still alive today, 94. I mean, to see him today. Still loves the Lord. Still going on step by step, you know, little weaker now, unfortunately, but his son, his daughter, are still pressing on into the things of the kingdom.
Amen.
Because Jesus found us as a family.
Yeah.
And that's what so mattered to us. And that, you know, when I gave my life to Christ, I made that decision. I came to Christ through seeing signs, wonders and miracles.
Yeah.
And I made a promise. I said, God, I will never doubt. I will never not believe you for signs,
Amen.
Wonders and miracles.
Amen.
And I will live my life for signs, wonders and miracles in your service.
Mm-hmm.
And at 18, he called me. And so I began preparation for ministry. And I think I was 33 before I came out into full-time work. But I'd been busy in the meantime. You know that, don't you? We had a youth group in our church that we grew to around about 50 young people. And they were praying for people, and people were getting healed, and the Holy Spirit was moving in the place. Ellen was there. Some amazing things happened, didn't they? Yeah, and you know, a couple went out on missions work, and some went out and became youth leaders in different churches. And I just look back and think, thank you, Lord, that you allowed me to be part of their lives and to be a signpost and an example and a father figure at that time.
Yeah.
You don't realize at the time that's what you are. And, you know, they used to come to us with all their problems that they wouldn't talk to their parents about.
Mm-hmm.
And we used to have to sit and listen and guide them and love them.
That's it.
Yeah, I'd love them. I remember one time we had snow. And living at Cusworth, you know, there's a big hill in Cusworth Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And it really came down. We don't get a lot of snow in Doncaster, as you know, but it came down. And so we said, we're cancelling the youth meeting. We're going sledging. And so, you know, about 30 or 40 young people turned up at the house, and Grace had got roast potatoes and soup and baked beans and everything. And we took them down the hill, and we got absolutely sodden wet through, as you do with the snow that's here. And then they all came home, and in the kitchen there was this pile of clothing, you know, absolutely wet through. And there they were, sat on the floor, having something to eat. And then I said to them, tell you what, it's Saturday tomorrow. We'll do it again on Saturday. I never think about the amount of work I give Grace, you know. And we did it again on Saturday. Because it was just something that, it was different. But it was fellowship building, it was relationship building. We played with them. We chastised them. We loved them.
Yeah.
And we saw them grow in Jesus. And that is so wonderful to see that happen. And so, that's still the journey that I'm on.
Mm.
They're a little bit older now. Some of you, aren't you? You're not no longer teenagers and things like that, but sometimes you can be as bad as teenagers. probably even worse than teenagers, I reckon, you know. So we together. We move on. And I thank God for men and women who will become fathers and mothers in the kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, in the church, we've got some great fathers and mothers.
Yeah.
And, you know, look to them.
Yeah.
They'll give you wisdom and advice that comes from the Word of God.
Yeah.
That's our future. That's our destiny out there. There are families, there are young people who've not really had fathers and mothers. And that's where we've got to get to. We've got to be ready to be the father and to the mother. To those that are in need. To those that are lost. To those that have been abused. To those that have been neglected. That's what we're here for. And that's why the Lord's given us this building. That's why we're doing what we're doing in it practically. And then we're going to build an extension for new toilets and kitchen out there. There's a word of faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And so, you know, I have a destiny. I have things to do in God. And I am going nowhere because God has a plan and a purpose for me to do these things. I'm committed to this work and to the love and to the people of God to see things being fulfilled. And, you know, yeah, that's right. I've prayed many times, Lord, don't let it rain because of certain things. And the Lord's held off the rain.
Mm.
It's not in, you know, you've got to realize that God is a God of the impossibles. You know, and you might think, oh, that's not possible for God to do. I've told you before about praying for parking meters with time on, when there used to be parking meters in town. You used to put 20 pence pieces in and what have you. Well, when I went full time, I had no wage. And yet I had to go into town. I was on this building project for the church. You know the church. And I would go in and literally, I didn't want to waste 20p on a parking meter. I'm tight. You know, if I can get it for nothing, I'll have it for nothing. You know, that's it. Simple as that. You know, I want the best bargain for the least amount of money. That's me all the time. You know, that's the way God operates in me. And I used to have two or three lads in the car who were not saved. They were working on this project with us. It was a manpower service scheme. And I would just say, I'd be going into town and I'd be going to Wilco's, and it was on a certain street, don't forget the street's name, Wood Street. And as I drove towards Wood Street, near the old cinema, I'd say, Lord, I need a parking spot and I need 15 minutes on the meter, Lord. And I'd drive along, and Wood Street was always a busy street. And as I'm driving along, these lads are mocking me and laughing about it in the back of the car. And all of a sudden the car pulls out. And I just pull up and back in. And literally before I'm stopped, this kid's out of the car. He's up in front of the meter. He comes rushing back. He says, you're not going to believe this. You're not going to believe this. There's 15 minutes on the meter. More than once that happened. More than once. You think, is God really interested in small things like that? Listen, if God knows how many hairs I've got on my head and how many Barry's got, and that's a challenge, then, hey, he's interested in the smallest things. Because you can't get much smaller and much finer than a hair on your head, can you? Wow. And yet God knows. Because he's our Father. He's our Father. And he cares for us. And you know, if you will get into this Word, and if you will allow, and I'll tell you one thing I used to do. I had this old chair at home. Grace threw it out. Worst thing she ever did. She threw this chair out. She said he just had it, but I still were enjoying it. And I used to sit on that chair. And I used to sit there and say to Lord, I used to sit there and use that as my prayer chair. And I used to say, Lord, I haven't come for anything. The one thing I've just to come for, Lord, is to just be able to sit on your knee. Feel your arms around me. And know you as Father.
Absolutely.
And I tell you, there were times when I would feel as if I was sat on Father's knee. And I would feel his arms come around me, a presence, embracing me. And I felt protected.
Yeah.
I felt loved. Mm. I felt accepted. And I knew God was real. Mm. And you need to take time out to go and sit on Father's knee.
Sure.
Amen. Yeah.
He's always there.
Amen.
Always available for us. Mm. Don't miss the opportunities. Enjoy his presence.
Yeah.
And you know, in those times when I used to sit on his knee, he would whisper secrets to me. He'd whisper into my ear. It was so comforting. It's so amazing. I keep looking for a chair that will feel the same way, but I haven't found one yet. But let me just, you know, just let Father minister to you.
Mm.
Don't despise Father ministry in the church.
No.
Those that want to love you, to guide you,
yeah,
to point you in the right direction. Mm. Don't shun them off.
No.
You might not like the advice maybe they give at times, but they've walked the walk for many, many years.
Mm.
And you don't know that the tough things that they have gone through, but they have. None of us have had an easy walk, but it has been made easier walking with Jesus.
Amen.
You know, he didn't say, I'm just going to cause you to walk through a smooth plane. He said, you know, there'll be There'll be challenges, there'll be tribulations, there'll be trials, and there'll be challenges to face. But he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I am with you.
Always.
Always. That's a long time. Always. No matter what the circumstances are, he's there. Praise God. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for David bringing us afresh to us, Lord, the attention of that you are a Father. And you want Father ministries in our lives. We thank you, Lord, that you have fathered us. That, Lord, you adopted us into your family. You chose us. You handpicked us. You called us by name. And we just thank you, Father. And we just pray that as we take on board your word and as we get into this word and into knowing you, Father, as our Lord and Savior, the one who loves us. Father, I pray that you would soften our hearts.
Amen.
Father, I pray that you would open our spirits to receive from your Holy Spirit so much more.
Mm-hmm.
That, Lord, we might be a channel that is clean and pure and that there are no blockages in the way that we could just, that, Lord, you could just pour through us your spirit, your love, the revelation of who you are into the lives that we meet in our journey. Father, I pray for those that come through our doors that don't know you. That, Lord, are looking for a real sense of a Jesus, a real love of God, a real relationship, something that it will change their lives. Father, I pray that you would equip each and every one of us. You would make us ready. And that we would be ready to do the work of the kingdom. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.